years. You're listening to CFRC FM 101.9, Queens Radio in Kingston.
Add one obnoxious alarm, one Hell on Earth 8:30 obligation, one stale cup of coffee just to get you going, and the sweet, sweet sound of some new wave pop punker screaming in your ear, and what do you get? One beautiful morning. Tune in to CFRC's Indie Wake Up Call every morning, Monday to Friday from 8 to 10 a.m., and actually make it to that early morning hellish dream.
The Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline is now live nationwide, offering a confidential multilingual service 24/7 to connect human trafficking victims and survivors with social and emergency services. We welcome calls if you have tips, concerns, or questions about human trafficking in your community. If you need help or want to help stop human trafficking, call the hotline now at 1-833-900-1010.
Hello and good morning, folks. You're tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. It is now 11 a.m. on Thursday morning. You're tuned into the CFRC Live Sessions, and I'm Rue Mathur, your host for this morning. Today, I'm introducing you to a Montreal-based punk band called Truck Violence. They're a four-piece band, but they're more than just any punk band. Drawing on influences from back home in Alberta, where two members, vocalist Carson Henderson and guitarist Paul LaCour, are from, the band paint vivid pictures of life in the prairies with both their words and their music, centered around lyricist Carson's captivating poetry. Musically, they occasionally draw on country music, and on this live session, you will also hear the track Guns Buried in the Yard, a stripped-back poem set to banjos. I caught up with the band outside the Handlebar in Toronto for an interview where we talked about their 2024 debut album Violence, and you will also hear three songs performed at their show at the Handlebar: Undressed You Layn't Before, Lecture, and Guns Buried in the Yard. Find their music at truckviolence.bandcamp.com. Also, unfortunately, the only place we could record this interview was outdoors, so I apologize for occasional street noises and jackets rustling, and also thank you so much to the band for standing out in minus 10 degree weather for 20 minutes to talk about poetry with me. Keep up with the CFRC Live Sessions on Instagram and YouTube. You can see pictures, clips, and videos from our sessions. And now here's Truck Violence in session for CFRC. Well, we're here just outside the Handlebar in the rain, joined by all of Truck Violence. Hello, guys.
Hello.
How are you doing? Not the worst spot for an interview, I imagine.
No, cozy. Yeah, it's a good spot.
Well, how have you guys been doing? You've like been around, in and around, touring kind of Ontario lately, haven't you?
Yeah, we did Ottawa and Hamilton so far, and now we're in Toronto. And honestly, it's been home run after home run. It's been really sick. Ontario is a great place for touring. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, shall we start by introducing you guys, like all of you, to our audience here?
I'm Carson. I'm the vocalist of Truck Violence.
I'm Chris. I'm the bassist of Truck Violence.
I'm Paul. I'm the guitarist of Truck Violence.
I'm Thomas. I'm the drummer of Truck Violence.
When you guys started as a band, it was Paul and Carson. The two of you moved down from Alberta when you were like 18 years old and decided that you wanted to like do music more seriously, and you moved to Montreal. Like, that's a big move and a pretty bold move to make when you're like 18, to just move all the way across the country. But what drew you to Montreal?
Honestly, initially it was the price. It's so cheap. It's like the cheapest metropolitan city in Canada. We grew up in a French small town in Alberta, so we were able to access it in a way that maybe we wouldn't have been able to if we were more Anglophone. And then also, we were young enough that we didn't have any like worry, or maybe we lacked the foresight, but it was like, if we're gonna try and do music, we may as well give it all that we have. And if we, you know, fall flat and have to move back, well, what, we're gonna be like 21 when we get back? That's not the worst position to be in. And you know what, like, we had the opportunity to do it, so why not?
I feel like in some ways it's a very Montreal thing to do. Like, you guys are a kind of quintessentially Montreal band as well. Like, you guys like blend kind of a bit of folk, a bit of like country, a bit of punk in ways that you don't really see people doing as often. And like clearly you're not like afraid to do something very different.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a matter of coincidence to some degree, like the fact that we blended folk and metal and punk, which is, yeah, something very typical in a lot of ways. But, I mean, we took a lot of the folk inspiration just from our mom, Bumble or whatever. We wanted to find a way to synthesize the two genres that we really felt represented us in different capacities, you know. We grew up listening to a lot of metal, and then when we moved to Montreal, we wanted to find a way to also represent our roots, and I think it was just made the most sense. As for like giving something out there, I don't know. You can't be afraid to make something that sounds awful, because I mean that's how you make interesting style blends, is by falling flat, falling flat, falling flat, and. If you're gonna play it safe, why ever make music? It doesn't make any sense. An artist that plays it safe is not an artist, right?
Yeah. It's just, I guess you find something interesting on the flat ground you've kind of fallen on.
Yes.
Well, I think you do bring like an Alberta perspective to the music as well. Like, I feel like even just musically, there's a kind of like I get a sense of like, you know, the vastness of like, you know, the open land and all that stuff that comes through a little bit more in your music. Maybe that's just all shoegaze music in some ways, or hardcore music in some ways. But even then, like in the lyrics and stuff like that, you get a sense of like smallness amidst this vast land. Like when I listen to songs like Undress You Lane Before from your album Violence, your debut album, you kind of get that sense that you're like searching for like meaning, you want to be like acknowledged, you want to be seen. You've got those lyrics on there as well. But then you kind of address it very directly and very honestly. And that's kind of striking because like most people try and dress it up as like a bit more arty thing, a bit more kind of like self-effacing, you know?
I think that, and this is going to be influenced to some degree by what I've been reading recently, but I think that in a lot of ways, the desire to disguise oneself and to sort of manicure it into something that's mysterious and cool, but you're not actually saying a whole lot. You want to be interpretive, but you don't want to actually say anything. I think a lot of that comes from pride and not wanting to be able to be picked apart. And so saying something direct or doing something that is earnest or making a song that is obviously deficient, because I mean, to make something in earnest is to make something that's deficient. I mean, all people are deficient. And that's not a bad thing. That's just what it means to be human. So I have no problem with addressing things directly or with sounding strange or being striking in a way that is not totally comfortable, because that mysterious coolness, it's oftentimes very vapid.
It's a bit diluted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. But then also, like, you know, you've got, I was just thinking about some of the lyrics where you're like, ultimately, I just want to be written about. Now with the band, you guys are being written about.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I view it self-critically now. Maybe in the time I didn't so much, but I don't know. That song is complicated. It may be a little bit lyrically clumsy at times, but I think that's what endears it to me still today.
just said. There goes to the reason in great parts. Who's got to lay your mind by the spirit? So you get there and I was to walk in. He ties what the song to my turn.
Think about poetry as something that is created and created and created every time somebody reads it, whether that's myself, whether that's somebody else, whether that's somebody who hears it once and then hears it a month later. I think that it's created once when I write it, and then again when it's read, and again when it's read. And I really like that. I think that the longevity is something that speaks to me in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Like art is the living, breathing thing, and then when you go and put it out there to other people, the way they respond to it will also change the way that you see it, I guess.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's more of Alberta, like, in your music, and, you know, like, Alberta has, like, a connection to punk. There's been all those, like, Salvadera, Chicks Dig It, SNFU, all those kind of, like, bands that are associated with, like, Edmonton, Calgary, like hardcore punk, that kind of stuff. But then what you're making is not necessarily like fully representative of like an Alberta punk music, but still you've got so many like themes in there, like apart from just the lyrics and your band name as well, and like the album cover and all that. There's a lot of stuff that's like so intrinsically Alberta to your music.
Yeah, it's inseparable from who I think Paul and I are in a lot of ways, but like, yeah, we weren't exactly in the scene as much as we could have been had we been in one of the cities and been bred through that culture. I mean, we were in a lot of ways visitors to these scenes. I mean, we live like 3 hours north from Edmonton, so We had to drive like 3 hours every weekend to practice, and that was how we would engage. And when we were playing there, we were, you know, 16, 17, so we wouldn't even be able to chill with people after our shows. We had to just go into a bar, play the set, and leave.
But obviously, it's not just about Alberta. There's a lot of other stuff that you're talking about, like songs like Lecture, where you know, you're kind of talking about, I would let you do the explaining, but it's sort of like not being able to put an idea across in a perfect way, right? Like to people that matter.
Yeah, Lecture is a fun one because I think when I wrote it, I think I understand it a lot more now than when I did write it initially, because initially I wrote it in response to just not being able to emotionally convey myself to people in my life in a way that was fair or satisfactory to them. And now I think that it does say a lot more about the creative side of things. Like, I love to read a lot, and I love to compare myself to the things that I read. And it's agonizing to seek perfection when, as I said earlier, it's absolutely impossible. And in fact, to make something perfect would be extremely boring. I mean, it would be also paramount to basically ascending to, like, being God. You know, like, if I could create something that was absolutely perfect, I wouldn't be a person anymore.
You just have to stop. You just have to quit music and leave.
Exactly. But, I mean, that's the fun of making music, is never quite getting it. The feeling like you're closer every time.
Yeah.
You feel closer every time, but I don't know, the more that I make music, the further away from perfection I feel. I assume it'll continue to be that way. I don't know. I would be shocked.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask if the music helps get there. But you're saying it goes the opposite direction.
I like to think of it as... I'm gonna totally butcher this, but it's kind of like the myth of Osiris, how John Milton explains it. I think Areopagitica, where he's like, Osiris, in the way that he uses it, is sort of a metaphor for truth. And it's like the limbs are ripped apart and scattered across the earth, and one can never assemble them all and put them back together, but it is your duty to try, even though you know you never can.
Yeah.
You can never attain truth, but it's your duty to try to do it, and that's what makes music so fun.
I'm gonna stand in the water, so
three, four.
Why again?
Authenticity in your music. What does that mean to you guys?
Authenticity to me, I think that right now we live in a really interesting time for art, because it's in a lot of ways so accessible, but also the medium has changed and it relies a lot on forming itself and fitting itself to platforms that they're dealing in, yeah, attention spans, basically. So short form content, all that jazz, basically makes it so that people need to be totally essentialized as fast as possible and as recognizable as fast as possible, and honestly play a lot on tropes and insecurities. And I think that that is anything but authentic. Like, the idea that one's art must conform to these horrible, horrible platforms that are just pushing what are essentially just products is the opposite of authenticity. And I think that I want our music to be, this is going to sound lightly pompous, but a beacon of light in that way, where it's okay to be bad or be weird or uncomfortable or mess up. You know, you can dance, and you can dance horribly, and dancing horribly is always going to be much better than not dancing at all, or than, like, stressing so much about dancing that you need to conform every move to what is already accepted, what everybody else is doing. It's just nothingness. So authenticity to me is earnestness, and earnestness is deficiency, as we said. Mm-hmm.
I think you touched on that a little bit on The Gash, another song on your debut album, right? Because you're kind of talking about, like, you know, is anything ever going to be enough? Are people actually going to get, like, the meaning from, I guess, watching you guys play, that kind of thing?
Yeah. The funny thing about that album and about Gash in specific is that it is extremely self-referential, and there's kind of no authoritative conclusion on any of the songs. You know, they're all sort of questions. Are they good questions? Are they formulated well? Not exactly. I mean, they are in some ways and they aren't. But really what they're trying to do is get at something. And so it's sort of like a youthful gnashing in that way. I think there's value in that.
Yeah.
I think there's value in that. But as to The Gash, let me think. Was there any lyric in particular you were referencing, or?
I guess the bit about, like, people, you know, wondering if people are just going to be nodding about vacantly, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just kind of resonated with what you said just now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that you will see that. I think,
it's a very Toronto crowd thing to just be standing at the back, unfolded, nodding along.
Unfortunately, yeah. People are just absolutely ruined by social medias, as am I. And I think those lines are just observation, but they're also lament. You know, it's unfortunate that that's the case, and I'm not immune to that.
Which is fair enough. We were actually talking to the band Piss. They're big fans of you guys. They were wearing the Truck Violence shirt when we spoke to them.
We're massive fans of them.
Mm-hmm. But, like, this mentioned to me the idea of, like, working class poetry coming back into, like, punk music and stuff like that. I feel like you guys are doing that, too.
So I just read something interesting about this the other day. Like, working... They say that working class people are essentially being priced out of music. I think there's a lot of people who are really afraid to acknowledge if they had any privilege coming up and stuff. I honestly think you have some kind of luck in your life to be able to even take the chance. And it's sad that that's the way that it is now, that like true working class musicians a lot of the time are being priced out of making any money. Like, it's really hard to make any money doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's a very slim number of bands that ever get any return on investment.
Especially not DIY bands like yourselves.
Yeah, for sure. I think there is a way forward right now where the bands, I will say, have like a bit more power, it seems, than they used to when dealing with labels and stuff like that. You have the power to come to the table with a little bit more bargaining power than I think a lot of bands used to be able to before, like, the internet and everything. Where now if you have kind of a scene and a sound and a niche, you have a bit more power coming to the table with these businesses, so.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you guys are kind of examples of it. You've been, like, working away at stuff on your own, and the recognition has been coming. Like, I've been seeing, like, you know, magazines in Europe have been writing about you guys. It's kind of getting bigger from here. So, like, what's coming up next for you guys?
We have an album coming out soon, So that's cool.
Anything you can tell us about the new album?
Yeah, I'll just let the album speak for itself when it comes out.
It kind of feels like, you know, sometimes bands can feel like they said everything they need to say in the first album, and then where do you go from there?
If you run out of things to say, I don't know. I don't want to sound harsh, but you probably didn't have much to say at the end. I feel like there's a lot going on in the world, and I'm not even just talking politically. Like, there's just a lot to think about, and there's a lot to discover. I don't know, I'm never running out of ideas. In fact, I'm always so annoyed because there's so much.
You might
that
have
I
too
want.
Much.
Exactly. There's so much that I want to touch on all the time, and it can be hard to make something cohesive and something that, like, I actually have time to give it, to be honest. So yeah, I'm never running out of ideas. I don't feel like.
It's good to know Truck Violence are not running out of ideas anytime soon. But what can people expect when they come to see you? Because, like, it's like we said, it's not a standard funk band. You guys get the banjos out. There's a lot more going on. What are the live shows like?
I really want a place where people can talk to each other and meet new people and have conversations that they wouldn't otherwise have. And one big thing that really had a big effect on me when I first moved to Montreal from our small town was just the fact that nobody spoke to each other, and people would look past everyone on the metro. It does sadden me that I feel like there's not a lot of spaces for people to actually do that here. And so the more that we can engender free, open, safe conversation, I think the better. And that's what I want the live shows to be like, is like a conversation between us and the people there, and the conversation between the people in the crowd amongst themselves.
Having your face till the kitchen's corner. I can hear right now. I like it here right.
King Poobah.
And we're Truck Violence.
And you're listening to CFRC Radio in Kingston.
You killed it. You killed
Let's go.
I'm taking, no, that's a one take.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Cataraqui on Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee land.
Hello, you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. This program features smoking hot local singles released this year right here in Kingston, Ontario that have been featured in the weekly Release Radar series. Local artists can get in on the action with social media promotion and airplay on CFRC's airwaves by completing the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, let's dive right into some great singles across genres recently released in Kingston by local artists. We're going to start things off with a great new pop rock rooted in folk storytelling track by Piner called Odelia, a song inspired by the artist's reflections on the rollback of gender equality, particularly in light of recent politics emerging from the United States. Rather than giving power to the person who causes Odelia harm, Piner turns inward, crafting a narrative that emphasizes self-worth and empowerment. Let's have a listen.
She no longer wants to be with.
And welcome back. That was Adelia by Piner, who you can follow at Piner Music on Instagram. Coming up now on the Release Radar Rundown, we'll listen to Nikki Ray of Sunshine's debut single for all ages called Rainbow Weather, a fun folk pop celebration of all the wonderful colors we see in nature and a gentle message about everyday beauty and inclusivity. A perfect song to enjoy as we move closer to longer days and springtime. I hope it brings cheer to your day.
Yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Look up whenever there's rainbow weather. You'll see the colors are more beautiful together. Black is the shade of the night sky. The crescent moon shines white. From a high, the great oak's trunk is brown. Clouds are gray before the rain comes down. Cherry trees in bloom mean spring has sprung, and they're pink just like my doggy's tongue. Red, orange,
and you are still listening to the Release Radar Rundown right here on CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. That lovely song was Rainbow Weather by Nikki Ray of Sunshine. Up next, we've got another new single from prolific local jazz musician and bandleader Oscar Evans called Crab Fight, which will appear on his upcoming self-recorded freely improvised album Sound Permutations, featuring Oscar on upright bass, Paul Morrison on piano, Bobby Shue on sax, and Andy Love on drums. Here we go. And that was Oscar Evans's latest release, Crab Fight, right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We're moving into heavier stuff now with a track from Exigen's new EP, I Am Rot, called Immortal Rests Not. Check out the archives of the Release Radar rundown for our chat with Nathan Graham of Exigen that we had last week about the new sophomore three-track EP loaded with heavy metal riffs and recorded by Terry Benn at Switzerville Sound Retreat. Here we go with Immortal Rests Not. Enjoy. And that was Immortal Rests Not by local heavy metal rockers Exigen. Coming up, we've got a great new single by D98, the collaborative rap duo made up of N98 and Dupel. The new track, Invincible, explores achievement, confidence, and personal growth through the artist's dynamic production, lyricism, and use of auto-tune. Strong language is present. Listener discretion is advised.
pussy, I'm on fire, I can taste it, ayy. All about that conquest, numb, bitches, bone sex. King Kong flow, fucking nonsense. I gotta confess, gotta die complex. Get you out that sundress, feel my veins pompless. Fuck a hero, I'm a boss, bless. I feel invincible. Riding around town, I get so rich, ooh. I feel skateboard, I couldn't wait. Never felt like a race as I get free from outer space. Now I'm turning 27, burning gas straight from the heavens. She tamed me of my aggression, my lucky little number 7. One day I'll be 97, then take me of my perception. Just one more hit and I'm resting in a portal, a new dimension.
I'm feeling invincible. Riding around town, I feel invincible. I'm feeling
you go.
Listen at the higher planet, six abs, six please, taking no damage. Ying dang, got the wager immaculate, but you might find out of this planet. Summers and t-shirt, crop top made it. Higher to break that block, I span it. Been there, done that, guys can't stand it. Fuck it, 3 times, she in love, goddamn it. Bad motherfucker boy, look at my wallet. Jewels, wind, fuel, I know, God, got it. Spins back up, girl, me a wallet. Pop that briefcase, make me happy. My Grayson with the reps, way too fly, so these fucks won't have me. Few L's, but them bad times passing. Us and two real, y'all fans all chabby. Shannon in the mountains, baby's a fountain. Come on my mouth, Andre 3000. They ain't as tough as they soundin'. Look at my show, revenue, whole counter. Prove it all well, cause we do it ourselves. And post the flash, y'all, what the fuck about it? I'll put your fave on the shelf, the greatest of all time, hope you found it.
And that was local rap duo D98 with their new powerhouse single, Invincible. We've got one more new track for you to enjoy as well from the Sugar Pills called Everything About Me coming up in just a moment. But before signing off, today's intro and outro bed track is a slightly older single called Stand Together, Band Together by Miss Emily, released late last year. Come join CFRC and our friends at the Kingston Music Office for Miss Emily's International Women's Day Showcase on Saturday, March 7th at Broom Factory, co-hosted by our incredible volunteer, May Paul, and featuring fireside chats and performances by local artists Adiari, Luella, Kyra, and Piner. Get your tickets now via visitkingston.music on Instagram, and if you can't make it to the Broom Factory, CFRC will live broadcast the whole afternoon starting around 1:30. What a great way to celebrate International Women's Day. We hope you can join us. And just a reminder that local musicians who want their new work amplified on social media and aired on CFRC can complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. And don't forget to give us, CFRC, a follow at CFRC Music on Instagram as well. And you can make your own song requests via CFRC.ca and our Instagram page. Yes, you can power our programming with your favorite songs. Get in on the fun. For now, we're going to end our show with the Sugar Pills' sparkling pop confession about joy, doubt, and the spiral in between called Everything About Me, a new single wrapping big feelings in bright, playful sound. Follow them at Sugar Pills Band to keep up with the latest news about their show dates. Listener discretion is advised. Thanks for tuning in to the Release Radar Rundown, developed in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. We'll see you next week.
The night, but don't expect breakfast. I can't cook an egg to save my life. Got a feeling you're gonna regret this. I think you should leave.